Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
As we begin Memorial Day and the Memorial Day weekend, I am reminded of something General George Patton once said about those who have given their lives in service to the nation. You know, these men should not be mourned. However, we should thank God for the blessings we had of having them in our presence, because were it not for Him and His blessings of providing these men, we would not enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. No truer words, I believe, can be said in remembrance of those whom have given their lives. With that, this morning I'm going to be preaching from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 this morning. I'll give you just a moment to find your place, and in doing so, if you haven't something the Lord has laid upon your heart to say this morning, a word of testimony or a word of praise or a word of memory or memorial, now is an opportunity for you to do so. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Word of God says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word today. I want to take you back to April 1863. The Civil War was in its prime. We're in Columbus, Mississippi. There is a church grave decoration service on this day. A woman, a mother, had two sons who had died in the Civil War. She was making memorial to them. She had made two mounds of dirt at the corner of the graves and had placed flowers on those mounds of dirt. While there, she had found two more graves of soldiers. And she proceeded to do the same thing for those two. And someone there in the congregation shouted at her, "What are you doing? Those are the graves of two Union soldiers." This dear mother said softly and compassionately, I know. I also know that somewheres up north there is a mother or a young wife who is mourning for them, just as we are mourning for ours." That day, that event, that grave decoration service set a precedence that has become known as Memorial Day. We honor those who have given their lives in service to our nation by making the greatest sacrifice that could be made. They laid down their life in service for a nation, for what they believed in, for something they were called to do. They fulfilled that calling. Today we're going to honor them. We're going to honor all of them. And we're going to honor and look at one soldier in particular that fought a battle, a war that many may not think was a war at all. But today, for just a few moments and this morning, I want us to realize that those who sacrifice their lives sacrifice not in vain. Because of their sacrifice, we have the freedom and we have the liberty to sit in this church today, or choose not to sit in church today, and have the freedom and the liberties to move about. I'm reminded, as I was thinking over and praying through the messages this morning, I remembered a bumper sticker that I saw on Bill's vehicles. There are only two people who have made the sacrifice, and I can't remember the exact wording, but it's paraphrased. When you leave today, look at the bumper on Bill's car. You'll see the sticker there, and you'll get the full gist of it. There are only two people who have made a sacrifice, an ultimate sacrifice for you. One was the American soldier for your freedom, and one was the Son of God for your salvation. Those are the only two people who have made that ultimate sacrifice. And it's not to place one on a par with the other or set any precedence. It is just it is something that is noticeable, and it is very real and very true statement. And I'm thankful for that. I think sometimes when we're talking about the sacrifice of people and their lives, we don't really understand the depth and the breadth of what the servicemen and women in America have sacrificed. And we can't forget the women. If you really want to get a picture of how many women have served in the military, go to the Veterans Cemetery just up the road and just take a walk. You'll see the wives of some of the servicemen there, but you'll also see a great many women who have served in the military and served in all branches. They lay in rest up there as well. Do you realize that in the Revolutionary War there were over 25,000 that gave their life? In the Civil War there were an estimated 620,000. That gave their lives. In World War I, more than 116,000. In World War II, more than 407,000. In Korea, more than 54,000. In Vietnam, more than 58,000. In the Gulf War, almost 300. In Iraq, 4,500. In Afghanistan, 2,300. And those are the figures that I can get my hands on. I don't know the exact number. Only God knows the exact number. But those give us a realization that there is over 1.1 million men and women who have fought for this country and have given their lives since 1776. That's an amazing number of people. That is an amazing sacrifice. When we look at the American flag and we see it flying, it should remind us of these and their sacrifice. When we watch television and we see someone take that flag and step on it, trample on it, burn it, tear it, we need to realize and we need to remember that the servicemen who fought, they gave them the liberty to be able to do that. But in realization, it holds a dear spot in my heart, because that is the same flag that was draped over my father's casket and now hangs on the wall in my house and is folded there as a memorial to him and his service. It is also a memorial to all of those who have given their lives and died in defending this country, and to see those trample upon it and disrespect it touches a nerve with me. Personally. But do you realize this morning there is one soldier in particular, one that stands out in the life of a Christian? That is the soldier by the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, we don't often think of Jesus as a soldier. We think of Jesus as a passive figure. We think of Jesus maybe as a passive hippie type figure that just easily swooned over and swooned away. We take the image of the Lamb of God and we seem to let our minds and our imaginations run wild with that, and we paint a very passive picture of Jesus. But we seem to forget all too easily that Jesus is also referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When Jesus came to this world and came from heaven to stand in this world, and He came to fight a war. He came to stand against the gates of hell. And He won. The gates of hell did not prevent and stop Him. They did not stop Him in His presentation. They did not stop Him in His gospel. They did not stop Him in His purpose. Memorial Day is also an event that takes place in the life of a Christian, and it is not just one day out of a year. Before the child of God, Memorial Day should be every day of the year. The Memorial Day that we celebrate should be something that takes place on every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, throughout the 12 months of the year. So we need to look at this verse and look at the 6 points that are brought into it. And I've broken those down into 3 for the purpose of the message today. But there are 3 points there that I hope will touch your heart. And I hope that they will give you a sense of sovereignty in God and through God, and a sense of solemnness toward those who have given their lives and toward Jesus, who has paid the ultimate price for our salvation today. We need to first see from our scripture that we always remember His appearing. When we see God was manifest in the flesh, it reminds us of one of the greatest, if not arguably the greatest event in human history. It is the time when God the Creator Himself came to earth through the incarnation. He stepped out of eternity and came and stood here and walked among men for 33 and a third years. Think about that. We think of Jesus and we have a perception of Him being the Son of God, but we often lose perspective of Him being God the Son. He is God manifest in the flesh through the incarnation, and He walked among us. He left His heavenly address. And you know, when soldiers leave and they are called to go fight and they're called to go to war, they leave their home and they go to a foreign land where they may not be liked, they may not be welcomed. We know the military is going to be against them, but the general population may also be against them in many cases. But they leave and they go and they suffer and they pay a price, some of them the price of their life. And that's exactly what happened in Jesus' case. Jesus left heaven. He came to earth. He was born of a man. He lived. He brought the gospel. He brought salvation. And the cost of that salvation was His life. He left His heavenly address. He also left His heavenly apparel. We know that when someone joins the military, they put on the uniform of the military. They take the look of the military. When Jesus came and dwelt among us, He took the look of us. He was a man, flesh and bone. He dressed as we dressed. There was no glow, no aura. There was no halo that was present above His head as He walked around. He was no different. By looking at Him, you could tell no difference between He and those that were around Him. He left heaven. He came to this world. He realized pain. He realized suffering. He realized rejection, hunger and thirst and loneliness and the problems of the people and the humanity that He was around. He experienced suffering. He felt the pain that we feel. He felt the pain that you feel. Still today, He feels that pain. Still today, He is walking around in the hearts of those who know Him as Lord and Savior. And I am glad to say today that He's walking around with many of the soldiers and many of the sailors and many of the Marines and many of the airmen and whomever they may be there that's fighting alongside of them. He is with them in their hearts and in their lives this morning as well. Ironically, this week I received another shipment of prayer cards from the North American Mission Board. And they were the prayer cards for the military chaplains. You may not realize it now, but in the military, the chaplains that are in the military today, they actually serve as missionaries. Some of them are missionaries from the Southern Baptist Church. They are affiliated with the Southern Baptist Church, the North American Mission Board, or the International Mission Board, and they are also, they're not only sworn soldiers, sworn sailors, they're not only holding the title of being in the military, but they are considered missionaries as well. Part of the money that we give to the North American Mission Boards and the International Mission Boards through Annie Armstrong and Lottie Moon goes to help them and help their work in the military. Help their efforts to spread the gospel. Jesus puts on the apparel and sets in the hearts of those men and those women who are serving America today, those who are in foreign lands right now today, standing watch. Just as Jesus came, put on the apparel of humanity to defeat hell and establish salvation. Well, just as we must always remember His appearing, we must always remember His accomplishments. Notice that Paul says in the Scriptures He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles and believed on in the world. From those four short phrases this morning, Paul tells us about the earthly ministry of Jesus. Paul exalts Him for His accomplishments. Should we not this morning also be exalting Jesus for the accomplishments through our lives? We have a testimony. If we are saved today, saved by grace through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, we have a testimony. And that testimony should be exalting Jesus and should be lifting Him up, should be glorifying Him. We should be seeing His perfect service, and folks around us should be seeing His perfect service through us, not ours. We don't have any perfect service. The very best that we can do is a filthy rags, but what we can submit ourselves to Jesus and to His work to do through us, it is amazing what it can be accomplished. The power of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit through an obedient vessel can accomplish an untold amount in God's service. When we see that He is justified in the Spirit and seen of angels, it is speaking of a divine approval that went with His life and went with His work. God the Father approved of what Jesus the Son was doing. Not only approved of it, but said so on three different occasions. This is My Son in whom I am well pleased. I don't know of any other person in history that God the Father has ever spoke from heaven and said, this is My Son in whom I am well pleased. There are others who may think that they fill that role. There may be others who portray themselves as filling that role, but there is none other in the history of mankind whose accomplishments have been acknowledged by God the Father sitting on His heavenly throne as saying that I am pleased, I approve of what He is doing. Not only does it come from His service, but it also deals with His sacrifice. When we see justified in the Spirit, it speaks about the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus did not come to earth to live. Jesus came to earth to die. Think about that. When God came to dwell among man in the person of Jesus, Jesus knew that his purpose was to die. He knew that there had to be that sacrifice. He knew it. And he embraced it. Oh, the human part of Jesus prayed in Gethsemane and asked that the cup be taken from him. And when God settled in his heart that it couldn't, that there was no other way, not my will, but thy will be done, Jesus said. And he submitted himself over to the arrest, to the torture, to the treatment, and to the crucifixion that lie ahead. What a sacrifice Jesus made. He made it for you and he made it for me this morning. He made it so that we can have eternal life. And the picture of it that we see lived out daily in our lives is the picture of the serviceman, the soldier, the marine, the airman, the sailor, whomever it may be, who makes that sacrifice to lay down their life so that their others and their units and their teams can live and to go, and they do it so that we can have freedom here in this nation. One is an illustration of the other. They knew and they know what they're laying their lives down for. And they do it willingly. Jesus did it so that men and women could be free from sin. So that we can live free from the consequences of sin. So that we can live in a truly sincere relationship with God through His Son Jesus Christ today. Our servicemen and women do it so that we can have the privilege of doing what we're doing this morning among many other things. We can enjoy the freedoms of this nation. We can enjoy the liberties of our Constitution and what it applies for in our life. Because some have had the courage to put on the uniform. Some have had the courage to lay down their lives. It's a sacrifice. And Jesus had the courage to lay down His life so that we could have the privilege of eternal life. Not because we deserve it, but because He loved us enough to give us that opportunity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting. What a sacrifice it is, and how important those sacrifices are. It is also seen in salvation. We see in our scripture where Jesus was preached to the Gentiles and believed on in the world. When Jesus and Jesus alone is preached, someone believes. It may not be directly in front of us, but someone believes. When Jesus is preached and Jesus is proclaimed to those that are around, a seed is planted in the heart of someone who did not know Jesus. A seed is planted in a heart that is drawing someone to Jesus. It may not be at that particular moment that someone is saved and brought to Jesus, but somewhere down the road when that seed is watered, when that seed is nurtured, when that seed is grown and developed, when the Holy Spirit has sprouted that seed in the spiritual heart of a man or a woman, someone is saved. Salvation is accomplished. When we see preached to the Gentiles, he's not talking about a social group. Paul is talking about those who are unbelievers. How important is our testimony today? It's important enough to realize that part of our testimony is our proclamation of Jesus, and that proclamation of Jesus does reach the hearts and the lives of those who are lost. And it does begin a work that draws someone to Jesus. We also today need to remember Jesus' ascension. The last phrase in this verse of Scripture says He was received up in glory. Paul challenges us to remember Jesus' ascension. Jesus returned after His resurrection. There's far more to this ascension than just Him stepping on a cloud and floating to heaven. There's a threefold blessing in the ascension of Jesus. Notice with me first its glory. After accomplishing an earthly mission, after fulfilling an earthly mission, Jesus ascended back to His heavenly home. Just like when our soldiers have completed their mission, they're discharged to return home. Jesus had completed His earthly mission. Jesus had laid down His life for sin. Jesus had resurrected to defeat death in the grave. Jesus had walked 40 days on this earth testifying of of His deity, of His glory, giving evidence of who He was and what His purpose was for. And now His mission was complete. Now He ascended back to the right hand of God, where He stands today making intercession for you and I. All of the marks in His body were there. All of the evidence of His sacrifice was there. Yet, His presence is seen in glory today as a victory. And that victory is glorified in the presence and the hearts and the lives of those who believe in Jesus this morning. It's not only seen in glory, but it's seen in grace. Because we know when Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, He sat down there for one purpose, and that is to make intercession for you and I today. That the redeeming work of sinners was finished. It was finished forever. He completed that work and He sits as the high priest. That's something that we can celebrate, something that we can glorify God in today. Of the grace that was given through Jesus and that is present in the hearts and lives of all of His children today. It's present around this world. We look at the turmoil that's in the world today. We look at all of the problems that nations are facing, that economies are facing, that militaries are facing. We look at the issues that are facing people and we wonder, my gosh, how much worse can it get? Take the Holy Spirit away from this earth and remove the grace of God. If you want to see the real fear of hell being unleashed upon earth, literal hell being unleashed, try to imagine for one brief second what it would be like if the Holy Spirit's presence were completely removed and God's grace was no longer present. It is today the restraining force that keeps evil at bay. And lastly, we want to look at the gravity. When Jesus went back to heaven, He went back with the promise that He would return. And the fact is that for His people, it has an element of gravity to His return. You see, when Jesus comes, He's not coming again for everyone. When Jesus comes back, He's coming back to rapture His church. when that takes place and when that opportunity is there, those whom are prepared, those whom are saved, those whose name are written, those that are part of the church, those that are the elect, are the ones that are going to be called. That is the gravity of His return. That is the gravity of His ascension, that there will be a return. There was a promise of a return. As the angel said that stood there with the disciples on the mount, just as you see Him leaving, you will see Him return. Glory to God, what a promise that is this morning, given the condition that we see our world in today. It gives us something to hold on to. There are many who are lying in graves across the world today who gave their lives in service of this nation, but they were born again children of God. And understand this, when Jesus comes to call back His church, they're going to be risen. They're going to be risen. And they're going to be taken to heaven, and they're going to receive glorified bodies just like praise God this morning for a risen Savior. Praise God for the memorial that we have in Jesus Christ. Praise God for the work that He's done through the nation and the lives of those around us. Well, as I conclude this morning, I might ask if we could have a hymn of invitation as they prepare for that. I begin closing the message. As I said earlier, over 1.1 million men and women died to guarantee our freedom. They gave their all so that you and I can enjoy the blessings of this great land. Today, tomorrow, we honor that sacrifice. And I thank God for every one of them. But I want to remind you of the memorial that comes to Jesus as well. One day, heaven's greatest soldier came to this earth, and He died to give us eternal freedom. He died so that we could have everlasting life. He died to free us from the penalty and the power and the presence of sin. We should be thanking God for that unspeakable gift. The redeemed, those who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, can never forget who Jesus is. We can never forget what He has done for us. We can never forget where He's taking us, that He's coming back to get us one day. Friend, we have to ask the question, are we ready to meet Him? Are our sins under the blood today? Have we been to Calvary? Have we trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior? If not, then today is an opportunity for you to do that. If you're saved and you know that in your heart today, you have an opportunity, if God's dealing with your heart, to come and to do business with Him, to just thank Him, if nothing else, if that's what He's calling you to do. We're here for a memorial. We're here for a memorial. We're here to thank those who have given us our freedom, and we're also here today to thank the One who has given us the ultimate freedom of the penalty of sin. So I can say this, if God's dealing with your heart this morning, as we sing, will you come? Ladies.